Welcome to the Messianic Media Podcast Hanukkah episode with David Kasdan. Happy Hanukkah, everyone. I'm David Kasdan, a Messianic Jewish filmmaker, artist, and musician. In this podcast, I'm including an audio version of a comedy sketch I did about Hanukkah. It's called the Star Wars Hanukkah Special. But let's do our interview first. It's with the Echad Records co-founder, Christian Montoya. Echad Records has put out a free CD that's available for download on echadrecords.com. They're also selling a special Hanukkah t-shirt. I'm talking to Christian Montoya of Echad Records. How's it going?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good. So welcome to the super special Hanukkah episode.
Thank you.
Yeah. Now, I'm calling this a Hanukkah episode, not the Thanksgiving / Hanukkah episode, but that would be a once-in-a-lifetime thing, but reasons I wanted to talk to you was because you have a shirt from Echad Records.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, well, do you want to tell me a little about the t-shirt that you have?
Yes, well, my wife had this idea to do a design for Thanksgiving, which is Thanksgiving and Hanukkah falling on the same day. And, you know, it just so happens that we're working on a Thanksgiving celebration at our synagogue with the youth. And, she's done stuff like this in the past. And she put together a little design, and I transferred it to Illustrator on the computer. And I said, hey, you know, this would make a really nice shirt. So, you know, I just put it up on the Echad Records merchandise store. And, you know, all the proceeds from the sales of this shirt will go to promoting Echad Records projects, like marketing some of our upcoming compilations and helping us print quarter cards and CDs to distribute to various synagogues and at events and stuff like that. And it's just a really cheesy shirt that we put together. It just says Thanksgiving 5774 along the top, and it has the picture of the menorah, which is a menorah, a Hanukkah that happens to also be a turkey, and it says underneath it, a latke to be thankful for, which is my own cheesy joke.
Oh, that's good. I like that, and you added that back in. So when you're describing the turkey, so it's, I guess it's with eight, or, well, it would be nine kind of candles instead of where, I guess, would it be... as part of the, so it'd be nine candles instead of nine feathers or something like that, right?
Yeah. So it's like the turkey almost looks like a peacock, actually, and the candles are made up of the turkey's tail feathers.
Yeah, I think that's pretty clever. I mean, I think, you know, I don't really think of that much of with turkeys, but I guess that's how people, you know, in elementary school when you do the turkey, it's using your hand or. Mm-hmm. You know, and then the NBC logo is kind of almost the same thing with the five symbols or something. That's what I think of for the peacock, at least.
Yeah, and I mean, I can't say that the menorah is even our own original idea. There was an article a couple months back about this kid who had the idea to do a menorah, and he started selling them online. And he sold a bunch already because, you know, this is the first time ever that Thanksgiving and Hanukkah fall on the same day. So I guess a lot of people are just excited about, you know, celebrating this sort of unique holiday.
Yeah. Obviously, it's a, you know, a lot of people are having fun with the concept of the two holidays. But, you know, yours is definitely a clever design. I mean, I've seen the, you know, a lot of people talking about, you know, turkey, fried turkey pancakes or something like that, but, yeah, first...
Yeah, we'll definitely be doing stuff like that at our, Thanksgiving event. You know, we'll have pumpkin pie and latkes, and, you know, we're gonna do pin the tail on the turkey, and we're gonna do a combination of Hanukkah trivia and Thanksgiving trivia. You know, there's just, I think... You know, and this is something that I learned from my mom, and she's not even Jewish, but, you know, she's always said that, like, the greatest American holiday is Thanksgiving. And, you know, it's something that is relevant to, you know, Jews, Gentiles alike. And so I think that it's, you know, when you think about the miracle of Hanukkah, you know, and you think about, like, the meaning of Thanksgiving, you know, it, I think they go well together.
Let me see. So you're talking about some of the food mashups and some of the activities. Were there any more activities or kind of a, I guess it would be, I guess probably a message or something, but is there anything else that's kind of combining the holidays, and did you help organize it?
Yeah, I can't think of anything else that's combining the holidays, but yeah, my wife and I are organizing it, so we're kind of, you know, single-handedly put it together. You know, the prior youth leader at Beth Zion, who's now the worship leader at Beit Messiah in Seattle, Ivars, was the one who sort of, we learned about the, you know, the lock-in concept from him, which is, you know, we get the youth together at the Beth Zion house for a night, you know, get together the evening, have food, have various activities, you know, everybody sleeps over, you know, they go home safely in the morning. You know, the other thing that we do is a gift exchange. So it's kind of a Hanukkah gift exchange, which is always a lot of fun.
Cool. Well, that's pretty exciting. And I guess are you... now, I don't really know this because, well, I was only in the Midwest for a few years, and now I'm back on the West Coast where I was originally from. But do you associate Hanukkah with snow, or are you... And are you fine with it being this early?
Yeah, it's interesting. I do associate it with snow. And it's funny because growing up, especially since I wasn't raised, you know, with a Jewish understanding, you know, even though I am Jewish, I wasn't raised that way. I always understood it as being very close to Christmas. And apparently the way the Hebrew calendar and the Gregorian calendar are drifting apart, Hanukkah is just going to keep on moving earlier in the year. So, you know, I mean, it's the end of days. Who knows how many more Hanukkahs we have, but it is very interesting thinking of it as being earlier in the year. And I don't know, I guess the only way to approach it is to start thinking on the Hebrew calendar and throw away the Gregorian calendar. I can't think of any other way to get used to it.
Well, a couple things. I mean, first I actually heard that it's the, I don't know if I, maybe I heard this wrong, but I believe that the overall the Jewish holidays are going to be drifting later. Now it can still, I mean, this is a fluke in that, you know, there's still a month range, give or take, because of the extra month. But for the most part, the holidays are going to drift later and later. But this was a fluke with it being, you know, as early as possible. Plus, Thanksgiving being the fourth Thursday, it could be as soon as, you know, the 21st or, well, not, I guess the 22nd. So it could be anywhere from the 22nd through the 28th. So it just happened to be, you know, if Thanksgiving was a few days earlier, it wouldn't have overlapped.
Okay.
Now, what
yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. And then there's actually no, the 79,000 is, I mean, won't actually happen because there actually is a rule somewhere, and I forget this, that Passover has to be in the spring. So eventually, it's going to, the 79,000 was if it, how long it would take for it to drift later and later, and then it go all the way back around, and then, you know, finally end up in November again.
Interesting. Yeah, that does make a lot more sense. Yeah, looking at the calendar for the next few years, man, it's such a big difference.
Yeah. No. So I think probably, you know, somewhere in like 50 or 100 years, they'll do a slight tweak on it. But I'd still imagine that this would be the only Thanksgiving in our lifetime.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Cool. Okay, well, have you ever been involved in Hanukkah plays or things like that before?
No.
Okay. Just asking, have you ever done plays for any, or organized things like at your synagogue for other types of holidays?
Yeah, we've had in the past, we've done plays for Purim, and I think it was, yeah, I was involved with it 1 year. Yeah, we have a, we have someone that does, like a drama ministry. And so, you know, we've done those in the past when we have enough people who can, you know, essentially practice consistently and rehearse for a few months in advance. But yeah, that's the one that always seems to be really popular is Purim because people get really involved. You know, the audience likes to play around with all the noisemakers and stuff like that. It's just kind of the perfect story to reenact for that reason.
Before we move on, what's the web address for the t-shirt for Echad Records?
It's echadrecords.spreadshirt.com. And if you go to the main Echad Records website, just echadrecords.com, there's a link on the right that says merchandise, and that'll take you to the store as well.
Excellent. Okay, now let's talk some more about Echad Records. Now, when I was last talking to you online, you guys were getting ready to release Volume 1, but you couldn't really talk about it. You could mention that, you know, Downpour and then my band were in it. So what were some of the other bands that ended up on Volume 1 for Echad Records?
We ended up having Hashir, Asia Parrish, Misha Getz, the group Echad, which is funny, they actually have, you know, the same name. And we have Lev Shiloh with Corey Bell, Rebecca Rudolph, Cara Oliveira, Joe Cuyu, Frederick Vervolt, The Pear Republic, Aliza Evans, Rabbi Jan, and Toby and Brooke Manolis. That's the whole list, along with Downpour, which you mentioned.
Well, that's pretty cool. Did you have that list memorized?
No, I actually had to open the website before we started this interview so I could make sure to check
cool.
these things.
Well, yeah, you made it sound convincing. Okay, so was there anything you learned just from the process for putting together Volume 1?
Yeah, I mean, one thing I would say is that, you know, I was surprised at how many artists out there have stuff that they've recorded and they're just kind of sitting on it because they don't really know what to do with it. You know, there's quite a few people that just came out of nowhere. For example, you know, we spoke to Brian Unterberger, who runs Psalm Place, and he mentioned to all the artists on Psalm Place that we were doing this compilation, and so there were some that reached out to us through him that I hadn't even heard of before, but they had these songs which they've been, you know, putting up on Psalm Place, and they were just like, yeah, if you're doing a compilation here, you know, definitely, you know, put the song on there if you guys like it. You know, there was also, I mean, the song that we got from Misha Getz was from her, you know, her upcoming debut album, so we had it on the compilation about a month before, you know, her album came out, and she told us, you know, she was more than happy to give us her song, and she said, you know, this song, you know, I put it online a while back, and, you know, people have pirated it, so it's gotten a ton of downloads from people essentially, you know, getting it illegally, and she was like, you know, if a lot of people are going to download it, you know, I may as well put it in a place where I'm saying, you know, it's okay to get it from here, you know, but it's kind of like, you know, people are going to get a hold of the music one way or another. You know, she was very open to the idea of giving away a song for free, and, you know, if anything, it helps, you know, promote the upcoming album. We also had, you know, I mean, there was just it was interesting to see some of the styles of music that I hadn't heard before from Messianic artists, like Downpour, you know, being sort of like a classic rock sound, and, you know, the Pear Republic being, you know, sort of a very, I mean, maybe you can describe it better than I can. It's like the closest to metal that I've heard, you know, from the Messianic movement.
Yeah, I wouldn't go quite there. I mean, maybe we did that on a few tracks with Netzer, but, oh, well, I guess you could say closest. I mean,
yeah.
You know, for a while, I was definitely, you know, pre-Downpour, I could describe it as, like, the heaviest, maybe. I mean, there's this one
youth group from Australia that in the early 2000s, released some like more traditional punk. So I guess it's a toss up on that. I mean, maybe they're a little louder on the music and we're a little louder on the vocals because we're more of a grunge, heavier sound than the kind of clean stuff over heavy music. But so that's debatable. But they haven't done anything. I presume they disbanded because, the only thing I have on them is a MySpace that's not updated and all that.
Right.
Right. But I'd say closest to metal in the Messianic movement. Sure, I'll take that.
Yeah.
Well, cool. Besides those genres, I guess, and besides Misha, was there also new types of worship that you hadn't heard before?
Yes, definitely. The most interesting one for me was the song by Kara Oliveira, Answered Questions, which is, again, a song that, she had already recorded. She had essentially been sitting on it for a long time. And, because Kara Oliveira, most people know her as Kara Haynes, she's part of Zemra Lvov, which is her family, and she's written some of the songs for Zemra Lvov. And Zemra Lvov is very, like, traditional, Israeli, Jewish messianic worship music. But the stuff that Kara's been writing on her own is very, you wouldn't even call it worship music, and it isn't something that you would expect within the messianic movement. It's essentially like poetry, like devotional songs, just kind of like introspective, sort of writing about, emotions and feelings and ideas and things that are very, it's very thought-provoking. And it's actually, I think it's something that can appeal to people who aren't, necessarily looking for praise or worship music, especially people who are not believers. I think it's very relevant, and I think it's like, it's something that's always contemporary, when someone's kind of pouring their heart into, the lyrics for a song, and just kind of asking essentially those difficult questions, which is the theme of this song, actually. It's something that I want to focus on a lot more in the future. And we have a song on Volume 2 by Angela Taylor that's in the same vein. It's something that you could hear it on the radio and you wouldn't even realize that it's essentially, because it's not necessarily preachy or, scriptural, but it asks these really good questions and it presents, sort of essentially like a very good, doctrinal, concept of like, examining, these very difficult ideas. And so, I think that's just like, I think it's something that could speak to young people and that we just need to encourage in the messianic movement, writing these kinds of songs.
Well, that's great. Okay, so since you mentioned it, are you still working on Volume 2?
Yeah, I'm actually in the process right now of mastering the various songs for Volume 2, which I'm almost done with, and I'm going through and sort of making sure that they're all at a good volume and that they sound good in order. And so at this stage, it's pretty much just going through with the other members of Echad Records and sort of doing a final vote on the track list, finalizing the cover art, and then, by next week, I'll be uploading the whole compilation and announcing it probably.
Okay, well, it's good to hear that. I hadn't heard much about it. So I guess I have kind of funny timing. I mean, I definitely wanted to get you in for the Hanukkah episode, but it's kind of funny. It's once again, we're kind of talking about a compilation that's not out, but it's, it's too late for submissions.
Yeah, it's funny because, the goal was to have it out before Hanukkah, and so it's kind of like our Hanukkah gift to everyone. But as I always say, we do a rolling submission process. So, as soon as Volume 2 comes out, we're already, collecting songs for Volume 3. And, you know, we'll be doing some big things in December. You know, we're going to sort of expand the scope of what we do and how we go about promoting the compilations. And, you know, it's definitely never a bad time to submit a song, you know, for us. Like, you know, we're always looking for more artists and new artists and new songs.
That's really good. Well, Hanukkah does last for 8 days, so it doesn't have to be a Thanksgiving gift. It can be a just a Hanukkah gift.
I think the way to do it would be to download it on day one, but just listen to one song each day.
Okay. But it's going to be more than 8 songs, right?
Yeah, it's actually going to be 11.
Okay.
Which I'm excited about.
Well, cool. I think last time you had, or one of you guys had hinted about a Spanish compilation as well. Has there been some progress in that?
Yeah, I've been finding more artists that are doing stuff in Spanish. I had to essentially put it on hold because, you know, there was a lot of work that went into putting together Volume 2. I was working with some of the artists, you know, helping them through the process of, like, recording their songs. And so, you know, which is exciting because it's part of what we want to do is help to develop artists. And, you know, there's a couple of the songs on Volume 2. They're songs that you can't find anywhere else. You know, they're exclusive to Echad Records. But, yeah, essentially, you know, that's part of, you know, when I say we're going to start doing big things in December, you know, that's part of it. And it's all a matter of just, you know, nailing down a date in 2014 where we can release a Spanish compilation and just starting to work directly with the right artists for that. That's one of my primary goals.
Nice. So that's really cool. I know that you've been helping people promote music. So when you say that you're helping people recording, is that like advice on software, advice on hardware, that type of thing?
Yeah, it's a little more so than that. With the song that Angela Taylor is doing for Volume 2, you know, she actually sent us a demo that she recorded at home, and she originally sent it to us for Volume 1. And so, you know, I went through and remastered it to the best of my ability, but we went back and we said, you know, this is a really good song, we want to do it, but you know, we want to see if there's some way for you to be able to go into a studio and record it properly. And so she ended up finding a friend of hers that, you know, was able to essentially work with her in the studio. And yeah, we actually went through revisions. You know, she sent us you know, versions, and you know, we talked over the phone and said, you know, the tempo here's good, the tempo here should be faster, you know, I mean, to the point of, like, what key, you know, to play the guitar in, and, you know, how to sort of approach the vocals and the timing and the cadence to go with. And so, yeah, it was just a really cool process. And we're actually, you know, I'm thinking about putting two versions out on the compilation, you know, one sort of the final, you know, heavily mastered version, and one another one that's, like, one of the acoustic versions from an earlier take. Just because it's cool to see, like, you know, that process of going from, you know, here's an idea. Like, I mean, there's a lot of messianic musicians out there who are like, hey, I have a song I wrote, you know, I've got the words, I can play it on my guitar, and kind of going, you know, they're thinking about, like, how can I go from there, you know, to having something that's CD quality. And, you know, it's not difficult. It takes some work, but it's very doable. And this is a perfect example of how that can be done.
Nice, and I assume email information and everything on that is on echadrecords.com.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's echadrecords.com. Excellent. Now, how is your DJ work going?
yeah, I had a couple gigs. I played New York Comic Con a couple months ago. And then I played a music festival in Philadelphia. But I'm essentially putting that on hold right now. My wife's pregnant, and you know, the baby's coming in January, most likely, if not earlier. And so, you know, I want to be home as much as possible, you know, and be there to help her out and support her. But I'm working at a company now called Blend that, you know, is all about, you know, music collaboration. And, you know, we have a really cool, platform, where people can go and collaborate on music. And, it's funny because as part of my job, you know, I'm continuing to work on electronic music and, you know, sort of keeping my DJ skills, you know, fresh. So it's like, you know, even when I'm putting it on hold in my personal life, it's still a part of my work, you know, which is cool because it's a lot of fun.
Oh, that is really cool. Okay, so what did you mean by playing at New York Comic Con? Was that a private event? Was that, like, in between sessions?
It was actually, you know, New York Comic Con is primarily an expo floor. So they have all these different brands and artists and stores that come in and set up booths within the Javits Convention Center in New York City. And one of the booths was there's a subsidiary of Namco Bandai, which is the biggest, you know, one of the biggest video game and toy makers in Japan. They have a group called Shifty Look that does online comics and animations for some of the original, you know, Namco IP. So they do like Bravo Man and Galaga and Pac-Man comics, you know, and Katamari and stuff like that. And, you know, they invited me last year and they invited me again this year. And essentially, you know, at various times throughout Comic-Con, they sent me up at their booth and I just sort of DJed for the whole crowd. You know, people walking by, you know, some people stopped and, you know, enjoyed the music and danced and stuff like that. And I was able to give out cards and sell some of my CDs. But yeah, it's essentially, you know, I was literally playing at Comic-Con. I mean, there's no other way to describe it. It was a lot of fun.
That is pretty cool. I've been to San Diego Comic-Con once, and it is a crazy environment. I can imagine New York being the same type of thing.
Yeah, I mean, I think the San Diego one is bigger, so...
Right, but it's also, yeah. I mean, I think it would be more media-driven in that everyone's going off to panels and things.
Yeah, it's just crazy how many people are there. You know, there's so many people just going around to different booths and checking out everything that's going on, and it was like, I mean, it's overwhelming for me, you know, and I'm a DJ, you know, just seeing the amount of people there at any time. So, you know, and like I said, I mean, I was right in the center, you know, close to the entrance. You know, in an hour of DJing there was probably, you know, thousands of people that were going by at any moment.
Okay, cool. Well, is there anything you wanted to say to wrap up?
Just a happy, you know, Thanksgiving, Hanukkah to everyone, or Thanksgivinga if you're going to celebrate them together. And, you know, just keep an eye out for what we're doing with Echad Records. You know, we'll have a lot of exciting announcements, and, you know, I just want everyone to be excited about what we're doing.
All right, well, yeah, I mean, I'll celebrate one day of Thanksgiving and, you know, 8 days of Hanukkah, and they'll just happen to overlap. So, yeah, and I'm looking forward to seeing all the projects and things that are coming out in December, and then you'll get them. You'll be earning your break in the new year.
Yep.
Okay, well, it was good to talk to you.
Yep, same here. Always a pleasure.
And now for my Star Wars Hanukkah special. This is an audio version of a video sketch that I've done before. Some of the gags were originally visual, but I think it works well in an audio version.
The Star Wars Hanukkah Special. Introducing the rebels of the planet Judea, Princess Leia, Jabba the Hutt. Introducing Menorah. The people of Judea lived in peace, a land flourishing with chew grub and sweet weed. When the vile Jabba the Hutt took over Judea, he issued decrees against their religious practices. What would the people do?
We must be on guard. Jabba's banned all religious practices in Judea, and he's banned us from reading any of the holocrons.
Jabba is one mean hut, banning all religious observances, building a statue of himself in our temple. Yeah. That's terrible.
I understand. But let's start our study. Today we're going to study about the time when Moses delivered our people from the plague of Dubak.
Quick, someone's coming.
What do we have here?
We're just playing some games, sir.
I have a little chess cube forged from carbon knight, and when the chess cube is ready, we'll play into the night.
Oh, chess cube, chess cube, chess cube, forged from carbon knight, and when the chess cube is ready, we'll play into the night.
These are not the rebels that we're looking for.
Good.
All right,
let's begin. Moses spoke to the people of Judea and said to them, "You are to observe these commandments."
All hail the statue of Jabba! All hail the statue of Jabba!
Hello, various creatures of all species! My name is Menorah! You don't have to stand for this! Let us revolt against our hut oppressors and restore our planet of Judea! Whoever is with me, let us flee to the hills!
And so the rebels of Judea fought valiantly against Jabba's troops. They even fought against elephant walkers. After many battles, news of Judean victory reached Jabba the Hutt.
Sir, your jelly donuts are ready.
Jabba the Hutt says, "Bring me more food," as he chomps down on jelly donuts.
Yes, I will also make some potato pancakes. More importantly, the Judeans have liberated their planet, sir. We should recall all forces from Judea
George?
To back to this planet's pale palace on Tatooine.
Jabba knocks the droid over and says, "What? That's very bad."
We have done it! We have liberated Judea!
In honor of Menorah, we should celebrate for 8 days. One for each one of Menorah's arms. What's this? Princess Leia's on her way? Cool.
All of you have fought heroically. The Rebel Alliance will provide support to the new government of Judea. May everyone in this galaxy have freedom of religion and respect for each other. I wrote a song to commemorate the occasion.
And you know what? I will have my Padawan sing the song for you.
Rock of Ages!
Thank you for listening to the Messianic Media Podcast. Like us on Facebook.com/Messianic Media. Send any comments to messianicmedia@gmail.com, and you can subscribe to us on iTunes.